Well, everyone, happy race week. And that is obviously only directed to Red Bull fans, because if you're a Mercedes fan, a Ferrari fan, not Aston Martin fans, I'm sure they're also excited. I feel like we're in for a long week, but there is plenty to talk about. Obviously, we did have a week off from racing. Shit has been going down at Ferrari, and we want to talk about it. And we do want to look ahead to Jeddah, arguably one of the most exciting tracks on the calendar. I know we've only had it for two seasons, but it's given us two very good races, and the actual style of the track, very good. So if you're new here, like, comment, subscribe, unless you're listening on Spotify, and then give us five stars. It really does mean a lot to us, and it helps us out. If you want even more of us, then you can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Just search Racecast, and if you're smart enough, you'll find us.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. So I hope you guys are good. It is Monday evening and we're back. It's an F1 race week. Luke, firstly, how you been? Because I realised, okay, we kind of just went straight into it last week, and it was like a bit of not a moan fest.
I do feel like everyone, just touching on the reaction from last week, everyone has overreacted a little bit. I think, you know, everyone has already given Max Verstappen his third championship.
Yep.
Everyone has already handed the constructors to Red Bull.
Yep.
Everyone has already accepted that Mercedes are a midfield team. Everyone has already accepted that Charles Leclerc is going to have 20 DNFs to his name by the end of the season. But things surprise us, right? And I think a great example of this is, think of the Braun GP season. 2009, yep. Domination for the first half. Second half, they didn't win a race.
Yeah.
So things can change. Let's be hopeful that what this season has in store for us is mega. Granted, not a great start.
And also granted, it's probably very unlikely, but we will keep positive. It is, as we said, a race week. So yeah, how are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I woke up unusually early today. The dustbin truck came around 6:30, woke me up.
The dustbin truck.
Yeah, you know the dustbin truck.
Yeah, I know what a dustbin truck is. I've never heard someone go, little dustbin truck coming around.
No, not dustbin truck. A dustbin truck.
Oh, dustbin truck.
Yeah.
Dustbin, that's what a dustbin. Anyway, let's move on.
What else would you call it? Rubbish truck? I don't know. Fuck knows what they call it.
I don't know.
It's not garbage, is it? I mean, we're in the UK.
I'd say the rubbishman coming around.
Yeah. But like, it was specifically the truck that woke me up.
The truck, it wasn't.
So, yeah, I've been pretty tired. What about you? We're used to it. I laid there for like an hour and a half trying to go back to sleep, and I said, what's the fucking point now? It's like 8 o'clock.
What a great start to the podcast. Yeah, I'm all good. Interestingly, we've done quite a bit of racing this weekend on F1, on the PlayStation, you on the PC.
Yeah.
We've now got like a little championship going, which is quite nice. We started doing full races.
Which is great, unless you're Matt, because then you do about four laps and then you've got to watch us do like 55.
Oh, You got to admit, though, in Jeddah, it was four laps in and I got taken out by Perez.
Yeah.
And we had already restarted twice because of Glenn. So
we kind of drew the line there. You know, yeah, there's only so many times you can constantly restart. But that race, I think, is what got me really excited for the race this weekend. Because, you know, like Matt said, we did race round Jeddah, did a full 100% race.
It's cool.
And it was unbelievable. And then I had actually earlier that day rewatched the 2021 Jeddah Grand Prix, which, for those of you that are new to the sport, iconic race.
I still remember, and I don't know whether this is sad or not, I still remember where I was watching it, the intensity of that race, because this was the race which was going to either, if Lewis Hamilton wins, he will go level on points with Max going into the final race. There was so much pressure on that race. And, you know, you had everything. You had red flags. You had, you know, brake checking. You had the...
I'll stand by Max here. I do believe Lewis could have avoided that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to defend his other actions in the race. I think he drove like an absolute mental case that was more than happy to crash and just go out the race as long as it took Lewis out. But I did think that was... I think Lewis would have won either way. You saw he was quicker when he got in front. That was it. He left Max and he had damage. But I do think the brake checking thing, I feel like it could have been avoided.
All he had to do was... It was fighting for DRS. That's what it was.
Yeah. So plain I understand simple. Why Lewis didn't go past him. And maybe Max did hit his brakes on, but Lewis could have just flown past him.
Yeah. But yeah, I love it. That season alone, I know we said this on numerous occasions, but that race was superb.
Yeah.
Considering that was the first race, I loved it.
And then you move on to 2022. Yeah. And obviously now it's at the beginning of the season, not the end of the season.
What do you prefer it at the beginning or the end?
It's circumstantial, really. I mean, what it's shown us is that it's a really good track for racing.
Yeah.
But if we had the 2021 race at the beginning of the season, it wouldn't have been anywhere near as intense.
No.
But if we had the 2022 race at the end of the season, it would have been nowhere near as intense.
No. Well, by that time...
Because it's just circumstantial. I think that's why they have been exciting, because we thought, obviously, we had a good race in Bahrain.
Yeah.
We then go to Saudi. I'm talking 2022 here. We then go to Saudi and, like, realistically, went to the last lap.
Yeah. It was a great battle between Max and Charles.
Yeah, so that's why I think I'm excited for the race. I think in the back of my mind... I know how it's going to go, but we will get on to our thoughts on the race, and hopefully I don't embarrass myself with predictions today.
Yeah, you're well off last time.
Yeah.
Should we get on to a bit of news?
Yes.
Do you want to start off with your Ferrari news first?
Well, because you haven't heard any of it.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't been on the ball the last few days.
It's been doing nothing.
I know. So for once...
Yeah,
and you teach me. And if you are an OG, you know this is rare and this is a big moment.
I'm not going to claim to like really understand the situation. All I've seen is what's going on Twitter. And it looks like everyone important at Ferrari is either leaving or getting sacked.
Yeah.
Now, quite a lot of people left sort of around Binotto, like high-level people. And... you know, I'm sure you'll be able to find information on it. And Vasseur's come in, obviously.
Yeah.
And it looks like, especially after the failure in Bahrain, more shakeups are happening. I know Alpine have attempted to lure someone away. That's the recent breaking news. But it's like all these people are leaving the team, right? And we spoke about Ferrari needing a refresh, right? But... for it to happen around race two, you know, the season has started and you're losing all these people, I don't think that's a good position to be in. And also, we talk about a refresh. That probably just means bringing in one or two fresh faces at a higher level to maybe change some practices, bring in new ideas, get people thinking and working differently. The amount of personnel that have moved on, or... the rumours suggest we'll be moving on, seems pretty insane. And it makes me worry about the stability that they have there, because, you know, they came under fire last season hugely for being incompetent, essentially. That was the general basis of this. These people don't know how to run a team.
No, and we said that, didn't we? We said that last year. They screwed their own season.
Yeah.
But by simply their awful decision-making.
But now it's like, so now if it has taken this, you know, why the first race, okay, they have a DNF and now they're getting rid of people. It's like, well, why didn't we do that in the off season when we had a bit of time to sort of plan everything? And because now they're going to be desperate to get people in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's honestly,
I've got something here.
Where like it's like the chief aerodynamicist and stuff like that. It's really like high level people that will A, have a lot of information about Ferrari, which is a very good car. You know, it's got some issues, but it's still the second best car on the grid.
Yeah.
I don't believe Aston Martin have closed that gap. But yeah, and now they're getting lured away to other teams. And we've seen how powerful that can be when Adrian Newey's right-hand man, sorry, I don't know his name, got lured to Aston Martin.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, you know, they've got a ridiculously good car. So,
well, should I tell you a couple of bits what I do know? So Vasseur is in trouble with Ferrari CEO for his closeness with Toto Wolff.
I saw that. This is ridiculous, right? Yeah. So the rumours are that, and this is not just the CEO that is apparently angry.
No.
This is like senior members within the team are unhappy that he caught a flight with Toto Wolff to the race at Bahrain.
Who cares?
Yeah.
They've been friends ever since Vasseur was in his Renault days.
Yeah, and I don't think that means that like Fred's going to be like, oh, Charles, pull over, Lewis is coming through.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's a bit stupid.
So again, we are just speculating. This is what's in the news, okay? So Leclerc has demanded a crisis meeting with Ferrari president John Elkann to seek reassurances after he retired from his Bahrain Grand Prix.
Understandable.
Leclerc and Elkann share a close relationship, but the driver was evidently worried. The atmosphere is tense in the Scuderia's factory in Italy. New team principal Vasseur held his first big meeting in front of the employees, urging them to remain united. Despite his troubling start in 2023. I mean, I think you take this with a pinch of salt in the sense of you don't really know what is going on. What is evident, though, is Ferrari were very unstable last year. Vasseur has been brought in to, you know, stabilise it. And already we're seeing people being able to lure, because the aerodynamics guy has been lured by apparently Alpine.
Yeah. So the understanding that I'm getting from all of this is that Fred Vasseur is not respected like Mattia Binotto was.
Yeah.
It seems that the people don't have the same respect for him. Maybe his credentials are not as great as Binotto's.
Yeah.
But I think it was clear that team needed change. Now, I think if they didn't think that was the right change, they should have made that call in the winter break rather than starting the season. Look, Red Bull had a double DNF in Bahrain last year.
And look how it ended up with them.
Yeah. So, and I know that Ferrari fans might be thinking, well, yeah, but we had issues all last season. And then the first race back, we have an issue. That could be Ferrari's only DNF of the season.
Yeah.
So when I started this episode by saying, I think we all overreacted a little bit in the heat of the moment with everything. It is the start of the season. Like, we've had one race and we're drawing conclusions. And I know we love to do that. But because I do think everyone needs to calm down.
So, executive race manager Jonathan Gio Bassi and long-time familiar face Gino Rosato have departed from Ferrari together with strategy boss Inaka Ruda. Might have said that.
Nailed that.
There are more departures, as you said, imminent. Several contracts will expire soon as well. I'm a bit confused why, as a team like Ferrari, with this legacy, with this, why they're in this position. Because surely, if anything, what showed last year, they were the second best team. You think they would be in one of the better positions going into this season.
And this is the thing. Is this that sort of like, everyone knows that out of all the teams on the grid, there is the most pressure on Ferrari.
Oh,
always
100%,
has been, always will. Now, I think this is a result of that pressure that maybe the fans put on them, which then leads them to put on themselves. And I think they should hold themselves to higher standards, naturally. But let's not be unrealistic here. Ferrari only needed to take one step forward and they would have been competing with Red Bull.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if they've got it wrong this season. It doesn't really seem like they've got it wrong. It seems like Red Bull have definitely got it right.
Yeah.
And like I say, it's one race. They had a DNF, fair enough. That could have happened to anyone. Mm. And like I say, that could literally be their one singular DNF for the whole of the season. Right now it looks bad because it's 100% of the races.
Yeah.
But if you get to, what is it, 24 races we got this season? If you get 23. To 23. Okay, 23. It's no China.
China.
If we get to the 23rd race and that's the only DNF, I'm sure this will all be forgotten. But there does seem to be a crisis within the team that I'm amazed that it's been so badly mismanaged that it's happening into the second race of the season rather than happening over the winter.
But didn't we have this discussion last year or beginning of this year when we looked at Fasseur, you know, coming into this team? He's got a lot of pressure on him. He's got no real, and I'm going to say this and you may take this the wrong way, credibility in a top team. You know, he's been with Alfa Romeo. He's got no credibility in leading a team such as Ferrari, you know, that type of, you know,
yeah, and
credibility.
He was never like, he wasn't like a right-hand man to,
no.
You know, even say like a James Vowles,
yeah,
who's gone to Williams. You know, he was really up there at Mercedes during their domination period. Yeah. So, yeah, you know.
Fasseur hasn't done anything in the sport at this moment in time, and this isn't me discrediting him at all. He's got a lot of pressure on himself. Because not only is he going into this Ferrari team who, like you said, everyone is expecting results.
Well, in terms of team principal job, this is the highest pressured role.
There's no
out of
one,
all the teams.
Out of all the teams, there's no team that you have this much pressure on. And my gut feeling, and I know it's only after one race, from what we read and everything, I don't think it's going to end well for him.
And you know, is that...
And I hope I'm wrong. I really do hope I'm wrong.
Is it an unrealistic expectation for a team that has won, what, like 23 races in the last 10 years? Why are the expectations still that high?
Because they're Ferrari.
But at what point does because they're Ferrari stop being a good excuse?
No, but it's not a good excuse. But you look at McLaren, for example, look at their success.
Yeah, but you know...
McLaren fans are a bit more like, okay, well, we are where we are. Ferrari fans... And
so that's my point. McLaren got to the point where people are just like, well, this is us.
But I think Ferrari have always been in the top three. That's the difference. Ferrari have always had race wins in every season.
Yeah.
You know, as a Ferrari fan, I can imagine, I'm only, you know, let us know, comment down below. I can imagine that actually they always have that hope that they can challenge. They lure, you know, very big drivers, you know, Sebastian Vettel's, Alonso's over the years.
Yeah, well, I mean, the name sells them, doesn't it?
Exactly. But that, with that comes the pressure. If you brought two youngsters in, I'm pretty sure Ferrari fans would be like, okay, we'll give them a bit of time to gel in. But they're
See,
bringing
that's
in-
the thing. I don't think they would. I believe they'd be under just as much pressure as Fernando Alonso at Ferrari, Sebastian Vettel at Ferrari, Kimi Raikkonen at Ferrari, Charles Leclerc at Ferrari. I mean, I guess Charles has kind of got that golden boy status, but...
But when does it end?
But Charles has always performed in a Ferrari.
Yeah.
He has always performed well, so they've got no reason to turn on him. Everyone saw last year, he performed, the car let him down.
Carlos Sainz isn't the most popular man with the...
Because he doesn't perform in that Ferrari. Mm. And I think he'll... If he has a season like last season, he'll be at risk at the end of this.
All right, answer me this. When does it end for Charles Leclerc then? In the sense of, you know, finishing P2 in the championship. Okay, Vettel did that. You know,
it ends on his terms. I don't think Ferrari would want to lose him.
No, but when does fans start losing patience with him? You know, he made mistakes last year. He hasn't...
He did, but he could have... I feel like he could have driven flawlessly... And he couldn't have won that championship. I believe Max was too good. There was too many errors with the Ferrari. And the Red Bull got too good.
Yeah, okay. Get your point.
I feel like Charles hasn't done too much wrong at that team. No. He's shown a bit of inexperience. He's still really young. I know he's not like a rookie or anything, but he's still young.
Yeah.
I feel like Charles still always performs to a level that is expected of a Ferrari driver. I don't think he's shown otherwise. You know, think, and he came in his rookie season with Ferrari. Mm. He beat Seb.
Yeah.
I know he then obviously got, this went under the radar, he got beaten by Sainz in 2021.
Yeah.
But I do think he had a pretty decent season for that car.
Yeah.
It wasn't amazing. And then, you know, last season, I think he was unlucky and he had a few errors, but...
Yeah, I mean, that one in France was...
But I think compare it to Sainz's performance.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even question Leclerc's.
No. Yeah, I agree.
So then, I'm guessing, on the topic of Ferrari, you've probably seen the rumours suggesting that Lewis Hamilton goes there at the end of the season.
Interestingly, I was about to go on to this. So, if you don't know, there's been reports coming out this week that Lewis Hamilton is losing patience with Mercedes.
He did make that comment.
What about the fact that
no one listened to him?
Yeah. That's a big statement.
That is, because that is...
You're throwing a team under the bus.
Lewis is very much, it's us, not me and them, it's us. But that statement is, it's me versus them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they haven't listened to me here.
I told you what we should be doing. You ignored it. You went this way. And this is why we're in this situation.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I read from that. And I don't know where you stand with that. Obviously, there's been reports now linking that actually... Does that mean he's on his way out? Does that mean he's losing patience with Mercedes? Is this the perfect opportunity for Ferrari to
will remember that Lewis Hamilton did say it's everyone's dream to race for Ferrari, essentially, and he would never say never.
Yeah. But we discussed this last week, didn't we? We said about the fact that, you know, if Lewis was going to go anywhere else, it's most likely going to be Ferrari. What is your view on Hamilton's comments? Do you think is actually quite out of order for Hamilton to come out and say that, especially after one race? I think this is a long time coming, but
yeah.
Or do you think it's acceptable? He's a 7-time world champion. He can actually say what he wants.
Yeah, I think he's warranted the right to be able to say what he wants. You know, if it's true, you know, if that has happened and he has told them certain things about the car, and they've not listened. Well, I mean, you would be pissed off. Mm. You'd be like, okay, so what? He's been driving in a Formula One car for, this would be what, his 16th season? 7 was his first, wasn't it?
Yeah. So 16th season.
So he's also won 7 world titles in that.
But is he qualified to give advice?
So do you see my point? So... And I'm sure it wasn't said in a way where it was like, oh, fuck it, throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was just said as a genuine comment, like, I feel like they didn't listen to me. Mm. Because you see people like, I mean, people love to jump on Hamilton.
Yeah.
Like on Twitter, he could say anything and people are like, what a dick. Like, yeah. And I feel like he's definitely in a position where he can be annoyed with the team.
Yeah.
You know, he... came that close to winning his 8th title. I'm not going into it. But he then came back a year later. Well, not a year later, you know what I mean. Next year. And the car was, I don't know what the fuck it was. It was a piece of shit. And they then addressed certain issues that it had. And we know there's a cost cap. Mm. But they were like, oh yeah, we know. Like, we've got this on lock. And then they come... next year, and the car's arguably worse, just it doesn't bounce now.
Yeah, it's awful in the straight lines.
They've lost obviously the pace to Aston Martin, who basically have the same foundation. They've got what, the same rear suspension, the same engine. They use the same wind tunnel. So Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari is a very interesting concept. To me, my personal opinion on this is you best believe I'd be buying a red shirt, but I'd rather see him finish his career at Mercedes.
I want to see him finish his career at Mercedes, but I want to see him finish in a competitive car.
It's got to be competitive. If they don't sort their shit out this season, here's the thing, right? I'll get triggered by F1 fans if he leaves and goes to Ferrari, because then it's always like, oh, you know, he just runs away, just always has the easy life. You know, he went to McLaren in 2007, you know, they were like the best team on the grid.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, he jumped ship and went to Mercedes and then was just the best team. It's like, oh, he can only do it when he's at the best team. He doesn't like the fight. And I know people would do that. But like,
well, people do that, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, no.
It's like a simple thing. It's like,
then for other people, you know, like Fernando Alonso, who has constantly jumped ship to try and find a better team, to find a competitive car. People are always like, oh, now he's at Aston Martin. I'm so happy for him. Yeah, me too. But like, that's got to apply to everyone.
Yeah.
Do you know what? So I just feel like he'll get so much stick if he leaves after two bum seasons at Mercedes. After, I know it's F9 seasons, but after eight, like, incredible seasons, he'll get too much stick and it'll trigger me, and I'd just stay at Mercedes and win it one way or another. I don't care if, like, push the car around the track.
Yeah. Well, at the moment, is Ferrari the right move?
Well, that is also...
They're also in crisis, aren't they?
That team is imploding.
If currently. You're Red Bull at the moment, you're laughing, because your two main rivals are... going through a massive change. The thing that I don't understand with Mercedes at the moment, they're very much kind of said, and they've come out this week and they basically said, you know, we won't panic or make knee-jerk reactions as we look to improve on this season. That's fine, you know, after race one, but from what we're hearing, they're well behind on race pace. They're well behind in basically all aspects of what Red Bull, Aston Martin, Ferrari are. It's concerning, isn't it? So are they in a position now where they have to make these knee-jerk reactions to actually even say that they're close to even challenging?
Yeah, it's definitely a time where they've got to react. But, you know, they said from the start, we've got planned upgrades that are coming. And what I will say is I don't think they're in as much crisis as McLaren.
They're not. But before we get on to McLaren, did you read the letter to Mercedes fans that got put out?
No, I couldn't be asked, really.
Would you like me to read it to you?
No, can you like give me a few bullet points?
So let's.
I did see it was pretty long, and I didn't understand.
Bahrain hurt. We knew that.
Oh yeah, I read that. That was the first sentence, wasn't it?
We want to start every season challenging for the title. Yep, no shit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
State the obvious.
It hurt the whole team as a whole. I mean, I'm not being funny. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Bahrain who's hurt the whole team. The team's been hurt for the last year.
Yeah, and it's self-harm.
Basically, your passion and support are so important in driving us forward. Well, unless you're going to get all Mercedes fans pushing it around, it's not really going to go any quicker at the moment, is it? And we know that we feel the same pain. We won't panic or make a knee-jerk reaction. In a sport, a spotlight as fierce as F1, people are quick to point fingers or look for scapegoats. But you know us, we're better than that.
Look, I agree with that point. I don't think there's any singular individual in that team that is at fault for this.
Yeah.
But there is an issue somewhere that needs to be sorted out. So... yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't understand the point in that letter.
No.
Personally.
You could have done that after every race last year.
Yeah. Literally. Like, and again, like I say, it's one race. Like,
you could have copied and pasted that last year, to be fair.
You know, also, they seem to think that going around Saudi Arabia is going to be, the car's going to perform better there.
Oh yeah, they've come out and said the car, and don't get me wrong, I hope it does, because we need to see some improvement. So Red Bull boss Christian Horner has revealed that actually they're going, Red Bull and McLaren have held talks for a potential engine deal for 2026. Do you know that?
No. So what, as in McLaren have a Red Bull powertrain?
Yeah, so McLaren, Zak Brown has visited Red Bull's factory.
Has visited?
Visited.
Oh.
Fisted? What?
It did sound like you said fisted.
Nope. as he eyes an engine partnership for 3 years' time when the new F1 regulations come into force with engines modified to produce net zero CO2 emissions. Some were surprised that Red Bull, who will partner with Ford from 2026 to form Red Bull Ford Powertrains, open their doors to Zak Brown.
It gets a bit ridiculous, doesn't it, all this stuff?
Red Bull Ford Powertrains. Well, this is quite interesting because... Horner insisted such talks are only natural as McLaren plot what avenue to go down next. The Woking-based team currently have their engine supplies with Mercedes. Horner said, I thought he was just coming for lunch. funny man. As a power unit manufacturer for 26, discussions are going to be held regarding potential power unit supply. So this is interesting because obviously we know McLaren are very bad at the moment. We know that actually they're in a very bad position.
They have could they jump planned ship? Upgrades for Imola just to start that that trend again.
Luke loves planned upgrades.
I love rumours.
How many upgrades did we see last year and none of them really made a difference? Well, name me one team.
According to Twitter, one every week for Mercedes. Yeah. So
name one team who actually benefited from upgrades last year.
No, in fairness.
Except the obvious.
In fairness, Mercedes did bring, was it the Silverstone upgrade?
Yeah.
That made a bit of a difference. And the...
Given the Crofty...
And the US...
And through goes Hamilton.
Yeah. And the USA Grand Prix, Texas.
Yep. And then they won in Brazil.
Yeah. But, no, granted, that I'm a sucker for a rumour.
You are.
It's the same in football. Transfer rumours, I fucking love them.
Honestly, I've never met anyone who... The issue is, at the beginning of last season, you got me hooked. Like, if you told me something, I'd be like... Okay,
the problem is I believe every rumor that it could be like a Twitter account that was made 24 minutes ago. It hasn't got an avatar. Its username is just numbers. And they'll tweet something. I'll be like, it's happening. I can't help it. I'll be like, they might know, actually.
Somebody on the
internet.
Like,
who am I to judge? Why would they lie?
Yeah, no, true. Very valid point.
Granted, they are all lying. But I have to learn the hard way.
So what do you think of this? Do you think this is a good move for, I suppose, Red Bull have highlighted their power units are good.
Let's be, okay, it's complicated because it's really hard to identify who's got a good engine and who hasn't.
Yeah.
Right? Because top speed with cars, we see typically comes down to like how they're set up.
Yeah.
You know, like... The Williams tends to be, for whatever reason, the fastest car on the track. And I assume it's because they have no downforce and maybe they run reduced drag setups consistently. But obviously they run on a Mercedes engine. The Red Bull engine last season had a few issues.
Yeah.
We did have some reliability issues. So I think now...
It looks like they've ironed it out though.
It does. It does, to be fair. I think you've got to look towards the most reliable engine because to me, and there might be data that suggests otherwise, please send it to me if you have it. The engines in terms of speed all seem really close. Like there's not one team that is constantly at the top of like speed traps or so I think... I would go to the Red Bull powertrain simply because it sounds the best. And that is true. The AlphaTauri and the Red Bull sound quality.
Yeah.
It's got a lovely sounding engine. I don't know. Maybe there is more to it than that. I know obviously like a big thing over Mercedes domination period was that they had the fastest engine.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it also had like 110% mechanical grip. It was just riding around on rails. So yeah, I don't know. Engines do confuse me in the sport.
It's not as simple as it. I don't think it's as simple as it was.
No, because so especially with these new cars.
Yeah,
and like everything is to do with the aerodynamics. I think like with Red Bull's car, the way it's like carved, you could stick. A Ford Fiesta engine in there and I'm pretty sure it'd still win the race just because it's just perfect the way it just glides through the air. So That's interesting, though. Can you imagine? I mean, McLaren have always been Mercedes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, because they were formerly what actually like McLaren Mercedes, and so it's that would be really weird. McLaren RBPT or whatever they're called, like Red Bull Ford powertrain Porsche Audi. I don't know whatever.
I think McLaren are getting desperate.
It does seem desperate. Why don't McLaren just make their own engines?
Because it's very expensive to do it.
Yeah. Do you know how much a McLaren costs?
Yeah.
I think they got money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that is one thing that does always confuse me a little bit. I know financially, but like, why don't you just build your own engine? If you're a manufacturing team, like Haas, I understand.
Yeah.
But like, okay, so I know Renault do. Alfa Romeo, why don't they build their own? They build cars.
Yeah.
They could build an engine. McLaren, that doesn't make sense to me personally.
I think it's just very costly.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's easier just to work
with Aston Martin. They could start, I know they're very new, but they could start building their own engines.
Well, you may see in years to come, but obviously Red Bull have set that, haven't they? Mercedes have done theirs.
And obviously the way Red Bull are going, like they'll be a very attractive supplier.
Yeah.
You know,
you're looking at it and beforehand it was Mercedes was the attractive
buyer.
Now you're starting to see what Red Bull are doing.
But then that's what, at the same time, how much does the engine actually...
Yeah.
I don't know, have you, like, you know when you're riding on board with the McLaren? It sounds like a carrier bag's in there or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's that noise? None of the other cars sound like that.
It's actually a carrier bag.
It actually could be. I don't, if anyone knows why the McLaren makes that horrible noise when you're riding on board of it, let me know.
We do need to get someone smart on this one day.
Yeah, that'd be quite good.
To talk like aerodynamics. Answer our stupid questions.
Aerodynamics are confusing.
Aerodynamics.
The carrier bag in McLaren's engine is confusing. I was looking at a picture earlier comparing like the suspension of like front suspension of Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, Aston Martin. Meant nothing to me.
Yeah.
I
wish I was that smart.
Yeah, like, but like, how can someone look at that and be like, "Hey, see what they're doing?
Yeah.
It's just a piece of metal." I don't look. Fair enough. I know there is a lot to it, but and people talk about it on Twitter, and 95% of those idiots have no idea what's going on either.
Yeah. No, I agree. Shall we move on before we make ourselves look any more stupid? Naomi Schiff, interesting, has come out this week and said she thinks Alonso is better than Lewis and Max.
Easy to say. Where was she for the last 10 years?
Don't get me wrong, it wasn't. She said she would prefer Alonso. So some people have come out. Do you know someone called Mark Scott?
No.
No, nor do I.
Should I?
He said, if I had to pick one current F1 driver for my make-believe F1 team, then I would, without hesitation, take Fernando Alonso over both Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton. I mean...
It's very bold.
I think if you're looking at the current grid and you're talking about now...
Are we talking about the same Fernando Alonso that... couldn't beat Lewis in his rookie season?
Yes.
Is it that Fernando Alonso?
That Fernando Alonso, yeah.
And the Fernando Alonso that hasn't won a race since 2011?
Yep.
Or 12, I think it was Barcelona, wasn't it?
Well, basically they said, I think Alonso is more ruthless than both, and I think he extracts even more performance out of the car or out of his car at his disposal.
I will just set the record straight here. No one is more ruthless than Max Verstappen.
Yeah, no.
The guy will, your car will be gone. He will have smashed it into 1,000 pieces just to win that race.
Max is holding back because he's not got challenge at the moment.
Yeah.
Give him a challenge, like you saw against Lewis in 21 season, he will not back down. He is ruthless. He will do anything to get that win. So I don't get me wrong, Alonso is a phenomenal driver. Would I say that he's a better driver than Max and Lewis? No.
No.
I think they're all very different in their own rights. I think, you know, Lewis has tailed off a bit since 21 for a variety of reasons. He hasn't got a competitive car. He's not challenging in the title. They've had a lot of changes within their setups and everything like that, which I get. So if you're looking at the current drivers and you had to pick a pairing, your pairing would probably be Alonso and Max.
And the thing
on the current,
it is easy to say when someone's got a good car. Now, what would be amazing is if they all had, you know, competitive cars. And I don't think anyone out of, you know, I think Alonso is a top driver. There are not many people better than Fernando Alonso. But I think it's a bit of a rash thing to say, having finished third in one race this season.
Yeah.
And having, granted, not really had the car. He's not had like a great time since, well, you know, Ferrari.
Mm.
So, yeah, and I'm sure he's a very different driver to what he was back then. I just think it's a bit of a weird thing to say, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
I understand it. He does. What I will say is he gets behind the wheel and he still, he reminds me of like a 20-year-old driver.
Yeah.
Someone who has absolutely no fear, still has that desire to just go for it.
Yeah.
Which is why we said him going to Aston Martin was really good for them.
Yeah.
And we said it was better than them having Seb, because Fernando did show that hunger.
Yeah. All right, answer me. I've got two questions for you. And you comment down below as well. So in this current, so 21 and this season, 22 season and this season, okay, if you had to pick a pairing out of Max, Lewis and Fernando, just rated on what you saw last season and this season, who would you pick?
I mean, I still think if you're not going for Max and Lewis, then it's a strange choice.
Yeah.
Like, you've got an actual 7-time world champion on the grid, and then you've got Max Verstappen, who is currently the best driver on the grid.
Yeah.
I think like your second best pairing would probably be Charles and Alonso.
Yeah.
With George Russell being up there, I would probably then go George and Lando.
Yeah. Okay.
As like, if like I was making three teams and I had to like have the best team.
I only gave you one team.
Yeah, but I want three. No, I want an A team, a B team, and a C team.
Okay, you know, we're not Red Bull and AlphaTauri.
And it's definitely, yeah, it's Lewis and Max. And I just think that to me seems like the normal decision. You don't even have to think about it.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. In their prime, okay, you know, the top of their game, who would be your pairing? So Lewis Hamilton in his prime winning championships, Alonso when he's back in his Renault era winning championships, Fernando and Max Verstappen winning championships in Red Bull.
I don't want to trigger Alonso fans here, but Alonso was in his prime when Lewis came in to that McLaren and he couldn't beat him. He then ran away from the team. So, and that was, you know, that was Lewis's rookie season. And then he went on to win the championship the next season. And Max has been an anomaly in the Formula One world. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think he's one of a kind. I mean, he came into the sport at 17, was instantly like, everyone had their eye on him.
Went after Toro Rosso at the time, wasn't it?
And it didn't take him long to get the promotion, though, did it?
No. Half season, if that?
And then he drove Danny Ric out of his seat. You know, he drove Danny Ric out of the team, didn't he?
He stole Kvyat's wife, girlfriend.
Yeah, so, I mean,
this guy's ruthless.
And then Max was obviously, he was winning when that car was the third best car.
Yeah.
He then went on to win a championship. He then went on to win another championship. He's probably going to go on to win a third championship. I think I'm not discrediting Alonso at all here, because he, like I say, he is a top driver, world class. He'll be in the history books. But Max and Lewis do pip him for me.
All right, if you're listening at home, or if you're watching on YouTube, comment down below. Out of the top three, rate them from one to three, who you would pick. Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso.
And I can't even stress, like, when you say, like, oh, they're better, this could be, like, the matter of, like, a tenth between the two of them, which is so close.
Yeah.
But you'd rather pick the guy that is constantly getting that one tenth. But I think Alonso is going to have a brilliant season. And yeah. I think Aston Martin are absolutely laughing that they've taken him from Alpine.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It is such a mega signing.
Shall we get into Saudi?
Yes.
Got any other news you want to talk about?
No, I think that's pretty much covered it.
So, okay, a little quiz. You should remember this because we did this race the other day. How many laps are there? I kind of like doing this because I wanted to see if you remember from when we play.
I feel like it's 58.
50.
Is it 50?
Yep.
Exactly.
50 laps. And would you like to know the schedule?
Can't you ask me about like the lap record or something?
Oh, yeah, okay. I can ask you about. Do you know that?
No.
What's the lap record and who's it held by?
I'm trying to think. I'm going to say it's held by Lewis.
Yep.
And it would. I'm assuming it would be his 2021 quali lap.
2021, yep.
I'm going to say it's a 129. No, 50 laps. 129.
130.7. Oh. You're getting closer at this. DRS zones.
There's three.
There is. Congratulations.
Are they keeping that? They're keeping three?
I believe so, yep. That's what it's saying. Right, race weekend, if you like this part, when I can tell you when practice is. So yep. Practice on Friday, 1:30 till 2:30.
Nice.
Practice two on Friday is 5 till 6. Practice three on Saturday is 1:30 till 2:30. Qualifying is 5 till 6, like that.
That is that's a proper little setup for the weekend.
Like that. And then
so you've also got the football in between on Saturday.
Have you?
Well, cause I think you've got...
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
Finish at 2:30, 3 p.m. kickoffs.
The race is 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I thought it was 6 for some reason.
No, I like that. So looking ahead to some news. So obviously the top four at the moment picture is looking very different. We know that going into this race. We know Red Bull were in a class of their own.
I do this thing. It happens across all sports where like if there's one team that like should be up there, but they're not. You always go as many numbers down as they are. So like Mercedes, who are, well, on paper, not even really competing with Aston Martin, Ferrari or Red Bull at the moment, but we still call it the top four. Like if Mercedes was sixth, we'd be calling it the top six. They could be last, maybe saying the top 10 Like it just happens. I don't know why. It happens in every sport.
Obviously, we know Red Bull were dominant in Bahrain, but we know Aston Martin looked the better team as a runner-up out of all those teams. Aston Martin were the ones who came to that Grand Prix in probably the best condition between Mercedes and Ferrari.
Yeah.
So Ferrari and Mercedes got a lot of work to do. We did touch on that earlier.
But they couldn't touch Charles Leclerc, to be fair.
No.
He was quick.
He was.
This is Aston Martin, obviously. Red Bull had no problem.
Going to say, I'm pretty sure they did. Lance Stroll is expected to be hopefully almost at 100% recovery.
Yeah,
he's had a good recovery over the last couple of weeks.
That's going to be really interesting to see. But I can't wait to see him at his 100% best.
I just want to say thank you for all the comments. We had quite a few comments on the last video, which was actually very nice. And a couple of people agreed with me about the Stroll thing.
But did you see the video that he released about his recovery?
Yeah. What a recovery.
And that's what I mean, where it really looked like he wanted.
Oh, yeah. I know. I agreed with what you said about, you know, he wanted it. I get that. What I mean is...
Should he have been allowed?
Is who is actually protecting him? Because it's like anything, isn't it? If you had an injury and you were like, I really want to go and do it. And I just went, yeah, go on in. And you hurt yourself.
There's
no, yeah, no, but there's no one caring. And I think in a sport which is not only protecting, it's a fast, I'm going to highlight the obvious. It's a fast sport.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's very fast. But not only are you protecting yourself, you're protecting the other drivers. If you can't turn your car and you can end up causing a collision.
Yeah, which is why my point was he must have been able to.
Yeah, well, anyway, we move on from this. We move on from it because you agree with your bit, I agree with mine. This weekend is going to be very interesting for the rookies. I was thinking about this the other day. Going into this, obviously, we've known like people like Latifi struggle here. He's not a rookie, but I'm just saying he struggled. Mick Schumacher has struggled there. Mazepin did struggle at some points throughout that race. We're going into this where we've got four new rookies, Sargeant, De Vries, Piastri. Who am I missing?
I don't think you're missing any one, are you?
Aren't I? Or is it three? Am I missing? Oh, it is three, isn't it?
Yeah.
Three. That is a hell of a lot of pressure because this track does not give you any. It's not like you can go off into the gravel, get back on. It is literally, you don't make it, you're in a wall.
Yeah. And look, Piastri, after, not his fault, but the disaster weekend that he had, is going to be looking to prove a point. Nyck de Vries was his fault after his disaster weekend. You know, he had a terrible race in Bahrain. He was slow.
Yeah.
He was slow in qualifying. He was slow all weekend. He's, you know, is he going to be feeling the pressure? Because he should be.
Yeah.
And then Logan Sargeant, I think, is actually going to be the most relaxed. Because
he's fast.
He is quick. And he's in a Williams. So if he's not quick, it doesn't matter anyway. People are like, well, it's a Williams.
Do you know they've actually made some changes? Because obviously drivers over the last couple of years have had a few concerns about it. So they gave some feedback. The race organisers have moved the walls at turn 8, 10, 14 and 20 to improve visibility.
So they've moved even more walls. Because obviously we had that last season. I mean, if you haven't watched that 2021 race,
go back and watch it.
Watch it because obviously it was the first time at the track. It was mental.
Yeah,
it was like so fast, full of blind corners, and it was so tight. Like there was no room for error.
Yeah. Interestingly, they've done all those changes to improve visibility. But they've also added rumble lines. You know those when you know that you're straying out.
Strip, yeah. Makes a horrible like bumpy noise.
Yeah, kind of like what you get on the motorway apparently.
Yeah.
It's like, so it tells you if you're straying out of the lane. This is interesting because we've seen in certain tracks when they've implemented stuff like this, some cars have been affected by it. Do you remember in certain races last year where they improved?
Yeah, because when you're going across it at that high speed, I mean, that's a horrible impact for the car to take.
Yeah.
Because they're disruptive, those rumble strips. I mean, even like you say, when you're on the motorway and you hit one at like 70 mile an hour, you're like, fucking hell. I mean, if you're doing it at like 180.
apparently, it's in the latter two corners, which to ensure drivers remain within track limits.
Oh, to be fair, they shouldn't really feel it then.
No.
At the last two.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. There's also been a number of tweaks to the curbs around the track to allow for better stability with the new generation of car. While a particular challenging section has been seen multiple instances in the past 2 years, the chicane at turn 22 and 23 has been tightened with speeds expected to be somewhere between 30 to 50 kilometres lower than in the past. So I think they're talking about...
Is that as you come out onto the last like straight...
What did we say? 22
and 23.
So if you're looking at the image, so we're looking here, 22.
Yeah, here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you come around onto that last, like.
This is where.
That is a.
Isn't that where Mick crashed?
I can't exactly remember.
Yeah.
That is a very fast bit of the track at the moment.
Why do you make it slower?
You can almost just lift.
Yeah.
And go around it.
Why do you make it slower?
Yeah, because it.
That kind of takes away The one thing we love about this is a fast track.
Yeah, that's what it makes it so exciting. Mm. There is a real threat of danger that does also kind of make it exciting. But I guess I get why they're making it safer and everything. Yeah. Like, honestly, in 2021, that track was ridiculous. I don't know how, like, the drivers must have all shat themselves.
Yeah.
Because that was terrifying.
Well, when you play it just on the game, you're like, whoa, you're like constant.
I understand it. I like that corner though, how it was.
Yeah.
I want to know the reasoning behind slowing it down.
I think because of multiple crashes they've had there, which I just told you.
Oh, what, did they actually say?
Yeah, this is because of the multiple incidents they've had there over the last couple of years. That's why they've done.
Get better drivers, don't change the track. Well, what's the point? What you got? What, so we just, oh, we'll just change the track, make it easier for them. Why don't we just race around in circles instead?
We could do that.
They
we
keep
could.
Crashing.
It'd be like NASCAR. Top three for this weekend's Jeddah Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez, Charles Leclerc.
You've played it so safe,
so safe,
man.
So boring, but that is what you're going to see.
Okay. Max Verstappen.
Don't say Fernando Alonso because it's just not going to happen.
Charles Leclerc.
Unless Perez's engine has blown up.
Sergio Perez.
I know Perez is slow, but he's not that slow.
Look, before Leclerc retired the other day, he was in P2.
No, he wasn't.
I just realised. Anyway, regardless, Max, Charles.
I think we need to make this a little bit more exciting now, right? Because we have got another competitive car on the grid now. So I want to hear 4, 5, and 6 as well.
Okay, 4, 5, and 6. So Max 1, Leclerc 2, Charles 3, Alonso P4, Sainz P5, Hamilton P6.
Okay, so I'm going to go, obviously, Max, Perez.
And actually, hang on, can I just say something? Right, you're giving me shit, right, for that prediction. The last one, you put both Mercedes on the podium.
Granted.
So who's...
Some snotty little Twitter person said that they were going to be well quick, so I believed it.
Username baby611 said Mercedes were going to be quick.
The little like egg as their profile picture. No, I made a mess of last week. But I'm going to say, obviously, Max, Perez, Leclerc, Alonso, Hamilton, Sainz.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, there's... Because I actually backed Sainz at the beginning of the season.
More for you. I did that all of last year. Look what happened.
Yeah, I mean, he looked pretty strong in testing. And I know the whole thing with testing, pinch of salt, whatever. I was pretty disappointed in the race. I know the car suffered deg. I just feel like, if the track is more suited to the Mercedes, in theory, it should be more suited to the Aston Martin as well. So I think Alonso will get up there. I feel like, Sainz has got an error in him.
Yeah.
So,
fair. So you still think he's in the top six?
Top six, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, now George Russell's going under the radar. He's done nothing wrong.
No.
But this is what I mean. Like, it is still kind of exciting.
You got Stroll there as well.
Take away the Stroll as well. I forgot about him. P1, P2, right? Take that away.
Yeah.
And I think we could be in for a kind of exciting season.
Yeah. He wants to worry about a championship. It's all about the mid-table.
I know. Look, I'm trying to make the best of a bad situation.
You can tell he's a Liverpool fan, can't he? He's getting excited about like a P6 finish or something.
I had to survive the Hodgson era. No one else has had to do that. No other team has had to live through the Hodgson era. Right? So no one can talk to me about bad times.
Yeah.
I know.
Answer me this quick question. Going back to the Stroll thing. If Saudi was the first race, okay, do you think they would have allowed Stroll to race?
No.
Because that would have been brutal.
I don't think they would have allowed him to. You need too much control.
Yeah.
It really is to the centimetre. Yeah. Bahrain, there's so much runoff everywhere.
You have a bit of flexibility. This you don't.
Yeah.
But I think that's it. Anything else?
No.
Red flag, yes or no?
100%. I would bet my property on it. So now, wait for Sunday and watch it not happen.
And then what we do on Monday, we will put his property online and whoever wants it can have it.
In exchange for a tent.
Yes. Shall we quickly touch on what we might be doing in Australia?
Not actually in Australia.
Yeah, we're not in Australia.
I will be.
Not when the race. Yeah,
but we wanted to live stream Saudi because we're pretty convinced it's going to be a quality race. However, it's Mother's Day. So we have commitments. I'm sure you have commitments. But we are going to try and live stream on Instagram for the Australian Grand Prix, which, to your delight, is a 6 a.m.er. So Matt's going to bring breakfast. Otherwise, I'm not opening the door.
Luke's going to make breakfast.
We're going to sit here. We're going to try and keep our eyes open. Because I don't think it's going to be the best Grand Prix. It tends not to be, but we're going to try and make it exciting. We're going to give you breaking news
when people already know, like a day before.
Yeah. So, yeah, make sure you do follow us on Instagram at Racecast Insta. All one word. Because then, you know, you'll know when it is. And we did it for Suzuka last year, which was a 6 a.m.er.
Yeah, loved it. It was really good.
For quali. And
we had people all across the world. It was great.
Yeah, because
it
really was good. For them, it was like a nice time of day.
Yeah. Except us.
So, yeah, do get involved. It will be cool. We like it.
Australian Grand Prix will be live streaming 6 a.m. Luke will make me breakfast. It's going to be beautiful.
Matt's bringing McDonald's. Otherwise, he's not coming in my house.
How does that work? I've got to go back on myself to then come back. That's not happening.
It's not good being you, is it?
It's really not. It's really not. But guys, hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. If you did, hit like button, subscribe if you're new. If you're listening on Spotify, please leave us a 5-star rating. We really appreciate it. Thank you, because over the last week, we actually have increased our ratings on this. So thank you very much. We really do appreciate that.
Have we?
Yeah.
Nice one, guys.
Look at him. He's like, oh, nice. But yeah, have a great week. And let's hope for a good race weekend this weekend, because Mercedes, you got to help us out here. It's getting depressing.
And Red Bull, just turn it down a little bit.
You know, you're going at 50%, go down to like 20.
Just win it on the last lap. That's fine. Give us a race and then just take it on the last lap.
Max, Perez, spin in the first corner. Then they just have to chase back.
Start from the back, yeah. You'll still win. It's fine.
Be absolutely fine. Yeah, have a good week. Take care and we shall see you next week. Bye-bye.